Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to the Sherlock's Team podcast with me, Charlotte Collins. I'm joined by Lou Huff and Laura Black. Hi, guys.
Hi.
Hello.
How's everyone doing?
Good, thank you. Although, actually, I'm not going to lie, I had Sunday night blues last night because it was raining all weekend. And I looked at the forecast and it's pretty much raining for the rest of time.
2 weeks we've got.
Two weeks. Yeah, but it's already been like a month.
Yeah.
So that's great.
Horrendous. I saw something on Instagram that said that so far in May, we've had 36 hours of sunshine versus this time last year when we'd had 266 or something.
Oh, that's depressing.
Isn't it?
Well, I'm going to try and be a bit positive about it.
Okay.
Because yesterday I really noticed it was really green.
Okay.
And I think a bit of rain. And when the sun does shine, it's just going to look really extra spectacular. Great. We just got to really wait for it.
Yeah. That's true. But it was the driest April on record, I think. So yeah. I would have really rather that it had just rained a lot then.
But it was dry, yeah. But just not that warm.
Exactly.
It was quite cold. So I think we need some like dry and warmth.
Yes.
Now.
We've yet to have a warm day unless yeah. you like stood in the sunshine yeah. and like really.
You
late.
Say sitting in your sheepskin yeah, coat.
It's fucking cold, I know. Which is horrible.
Also, I feel like obviously we're recording this on a Monday. So today restaurants are now open. So you can sit inside. But up until this point, it's been outside only, which has been absolutely miserable.
Also, yeah. there is no reason to dress up because you no. put on your outfit and then I'll put on like a polo neck and my massive puffer.
It's so true. I wore an M&S cashmere polo neck for dinner on Friday night. And I was yeah. like, why am I looking at you in May? Yeah. Why?
Do you know, I couldn't find mine when I was going out the other night. I was going mad. I was like, where is it? And then I realized that I put it away in storage for winter and I had to take it out.
And why wouldn't you have?
Yeah.
That
exactly.
is the question. Lou, you need to start adhering to my life hack, my best life hack, which is going out for dinner on a Sunday night. It literally yeah. eliminates all Sunday blues.
So we used to do that. It was kind of our date night for the week, actually, was always Sunday mm-hmm. evenings. But I just have no interest in sitting outside recently. Yeah. So we're definitely going to pick it back up again, actually.
Yeah. Also, last night was the last night you would have
yeah.
to
yeah.
stay there for. They were taking it quite liberally, though. There were quite a lot of people sat, like, in inverted commas, outside.
Oh, really?
Okay. Yeah, it's like people inside with doors open and stuff. But I think, there's not much difference between yesterday and today, is there?
That's
but
nice.
I did do my first workout. I mean, basically my first workout of the last year.
Okay.
This morning.
And how was it?
Incredible. Like, I know rationally that exercise makes me feel a lot better, but I just have zero motivation. I'm just lazy. Yeah. I am just lazy, physically lazy. So haven't really done a lot over the last year. Regular listeners will know I love Cobox, but didn't go back in between the lockdowns last
yeah.
year. Went back this morning because I live closer to the Chelsea one now. And just feel so good for it. Like, I felt so kind of bloated and gross from our dinner out last night, this morning. And I just feel so much more energetic and awake yeah. and good.
And what did it feel morning. Like? Did it feel normal?
Fucking hard.
Okay.
Sorry, but you meant in terms of COVID.
I'm not going with that bit. I'm going with like COVID-wise. The environment.
I think fundamentally, if you're still really nervous of catching COVID, like you can't really go to a class like that because it's way less people. And this isn't Cobot specific. And at the end of the day, it's a lot of people sweating and breathing into
yeah.
one room that isn't very well ventilated. So, you know, if you're nervous, then best to avoid. But if, like me, you've just been gagging to get back into that environment, it's just the best thing ever.
Yeah.
So
there's
good.
Something as well about being around other people to exercise, which makes you be better.
100%.
Like, I've been doing bar at home to a Zoom screen. My video is turned off. And I know if I was with other people, you kind of, not that you try and show off, but you're kind of like, all right, I'm not going to drop first.
Yeah. Mm.
But I don't know. But finding that going back into a gym.
Yeah. Maybe try hardcore because, well, I've only ever been to the St. John's Wood one, but it's super airy. It was a church.
Okay.
So it's got like really high ceilings and there's only ever 11 or 12 people in the class.
Yeah.
So I think it feels quite well spaced out. Mm. Not like you're sweating all over other people.
Yeah.
Laura, are you going to be hitting any classes now things reopen? Or what will you be doing now things reopen?
Well, I
heard you speak about exercise actually.
Oh, really? Yeah, we bought the Peloton tread.
Sorry, apart from when Laura walked up and down her stairs like
yes,
100 times
yeah,
in
it,
lockdown one.
Yeah. No, I like a bit of exercise, but it's got to be done by 7 a.m. Otherwise, it's not happening. Yeah, we bought the Peloton, which we have used loads during lockdown. Amazing. And I just cannot ever see myself going back to a gym.
Everyone who buys a Peloton says that.
It's cheaper overall. Mm. More of us use it. You can do all those classes, bar and yoga, Pilates, whatever it is. And even use the app outside. So yeah, massive.
And you
fan.
Have the self-motivation to do that. I was just about to say,
you need that motivation.
Yeah. I actually think I'm better at it. Because I'm not faffing around getting to and from. I think there's an excuse for me not to.
Yeah, I would say it has got that in its favour. Like I could very easily be like, you know, I've had a long day in the office and I'm hungry and I can't be bothered to get there. Whereas I'm at home, I don't really have an excuse.
Yeah.
I think especially with kids.
Mm. You know, I need it done.
Yeah, get it done. Good for you. What's everybody watching? I'm really excited about today's TV chat. I feel like we've got some good things to talk
about. I know, so many goodies.
We've been holding off all morning.
Should we start with Halston?
Let's.
You go.
Okay, so Halston is a 5-part Netflix series which launched on Friday. It is produced by Ryan Murphy, not directed, but people will know him from Glee, the politician. It's about the life of Roy Halston, or just Halston, who, for those who don't know, was a major fashion designer in the 70s and 80s.
Rose to fame by doing Jackie Kennedy's hats.
Yes, he did her hat for the inauguration for JFK. I think that was 63, actually. So So throughout quite a lot of the 20th century.
But started as a milliner. Yes. And then women weren't buying hats so much, so kind of his career sort of stopped and then went back into ready-to-wear and couture.
Yes, and he's known as kind of the purveyor of 70s glamour. He was a huge part of that Studio 54 set. So that kind of very glamorous, wafty kaftan look, you know, straight back hair, big earrings, like that was really championed by him. This 5-part series is basically just about his life, and Ewan McGregor plays him amazingly.
Absolutely unbelievable.
I mean, I have to say, I watched the whole thing this weekend and I absolutely loved the entire series.
I'm 3 episodes in. I watched it all yesterday. It was like rainy. So I was like, it's rainy, I've got nothing else to do. I'm going to enjoy watching this. And Ewan McGregor, I was completely captivated by him. I haven't seen him in anything recently and loved him. But the way that it's shot, his mannerisms, the writing is incredible. I was just completely hooked.
I think the casting is incredible. Some of his very close friends were Elsa Peretti and Liza Minnelli, and everyone playing those characters just feels like such an incredible likeness.
Yeah.
I mean, like Trainspotting, who? Like, it's completely transformative, completely, isn't it? It's like completely. A whole other world.
The way that he smokes, I know smoking is really bad for you and it is not cool at all. Do not smoke, but
it looks so cool. It's just this glamour, and I would love to know if like that era was as glamorous as these TV shows portray it. And as we know, Ryan Murphy kind of has a way of putting a glamorous sheen on everything. He was behind Hollywood last year as well, wasn't he? It's amazing. Just so enjoyable, pure fun.
Yeah,
loved
brilliant.
It.
The other thing that I have binged, I say binged, there's only been 3 episodes, but was The Pursuit of Love, which is the adaptation of Nancy Mitford's novel Pursuit of Love from 1946. Emily Mortimer has done the screenplay. She also stars in it as well. The cast is incredible. Lily James, Emily Beecham, and Andrew Scott, who is incredible. He is definitely the star of it. And I really enjoyed it. And it's only 3 episodes, so it's quite an easy watch. And it's got great actors and it's really beautiful. But it was just missing something.
I have to say, I watched most of the first episode and fell asleep. I thought it was a little bit boring. Is that controversial?
No, I don't think it's controversial. I would say the first one probably is the least exciting because it's kind of setting the scene. And
I love a period drama on
I was
a
just
Sunday
about to
night.
Say, is it a period drama?
Yeah, it is. I usually love it, but I just found it a bit slow. But maybe I should persevere.
It basically tells the tale of 2 cousins who are very close growing up in the 1920s. And it's Lily James is basically obsessed with love and the pursuit of love. And she basically wants to be freed from her family. She's uneducated and she's just been basically stuck at home with her brothers and her father, who is played by Dominic West. And they had then that romantic love affair.
Creepy. I don't think anyone really realized at the time that he was playing her father in that show. Gross.
Oh my God, yes. I'm picturing Daily Mail pictures of them together.
Yeah,
yes.
That weird little romantic weekend they had in Rome.
Yeah.
Yes.
Ugh. If someone's
coming back, okay.
And when I watch, I just kept thinking, like, there's a time where he sort of beats her, and you're like, oh,
no,
God, this
gross,
is
gross,
odd. Oh, maybe I have to finish it now. It's making a bit more sense.
As a salacious element to it.
Yeah. But yeah, it's beautiful. It was just missing something for me.
But would you still recommend it?
Yeah, it's 3 episodes. Andrew Scott is brilliant. So it's worth it.
Who does he play
just for him? He is a family friend. He's a true artist as well and is quite camp and fabulous, darling.
Okay. God, he's such a good actor.
Yeah, he's so good in it.
Oh, okay.
He's got some good one-liners as well. Worth a watch on a rainy day. Okay. But definitely not as good as Halston.
Okay, noted. Laura, anything to recommend?
I know, I'm just following Lou's recommendation of SAS.
Oh yes, another one that I watched. This is your first time watching it, right?
First time. I literally love it.
Yes, Laura.
Yeah, it's what, so good.
Why? What's so good about it? I don't feel like this is my bag, really.
No, I don't think it's
your thing. Love stuff like this. How many contestants? 20?
So it starts with 20. They are basically doing SAS training, mm-hmm. and it's kind of a very intense boot camp for 2 weeks, I think it is. And it starts with 20 contestants, and basically they're kind of whittled down because they basically can't.
They either
the
drop
challenges.
Out yeah. or they're not strong
they're eliminated.
Enough.
Yeah. Yeah. Fine. And it's very much both physical and mental. Mm-hmm. And it's just fascinating. There's been a few celebrity versions, which I've also been hooked on.
We were talking the other day about who would do it. And I would love to do something like yeah. that. But Lou was saying I wouldn't like the shouting. And I'm kind of with you. Like, it's yeah. quite aggressive, the shouting.
Yeah. They're really tested. But then it'd be like, you're a fucking idiot. Why yeah. the fuck are you yeah, doing no. this? And they get really in your face. And it's obviously to test you and push
of
you
course.
To your limits.
They are hard yeah, as they are. Nails. I mean, obviously they are because they're SAS.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
like each task that they yeah. do and you're like, okay, I could do that one. Like I'm fine with height. So the one where they're going down the cliff, I was yeah. like, I'm fine. But then there was this 6'5" big guy last night having to go through this tiny tube. Yeah. The claustrophobia, I was like, I couldn't do it.
Yeah.
I couldn't
yeah.
do it.
Everyone's got a different thing
and,
that would set them
off. And it's just interesting as well, seeing like the contestants' journey, like they've obviously gone through something themselves. And there's, you know, I think when you watch it, you're like, why would you put yourself up for this? But I think they've been through their own personal journey and challenges, and they're kind of seeing this as, you know, if I can get through this, I'm going to come out a different person. Or they've got their own demons that they need to face, basically.
Quickly, where can I watch SAS? He Who Dares Wins.
Channel 4. 4AD.
He Who Dares Wins. That sounds a bit Shakespeare, is it? Who
yeah.
Dares Wins.
Yeah, Who Dares yeah. Wins.
Channel 4. Thanks. All right. We're going to stick to our new format of answering some of your questions. We asked you on Instagram what you wanted us to talk about today. And as usual, there's a lovely variety of questions. One that really caught my eye. I really like this. These are going to come in a random order. Serious, frivolous. Let's just see how it goes. If Sherlock didn't exist, brackets, gasp, what would you be doing? I love that question. Ooh. I don't think we've ever talked about that on the podcast before. Maybe let's, you know, because we'd probably all just say we'd be doing the same at another magazine. So maybe if you were doing something else should be the question.
Okay.
What would you do? What would you have chosen to do? Maybe you can have like a fantasy answer, like a dream job, and then also like what you'd really be doing.
I've always said I would be something in like the care industry.
Oh,
yeah,
that's
I'd love
nice.
To do something like that. Before I worked at Sherlock, I did some time in an old people's home. I also did some work experience in a prison. I think, yeah, I'd definitely do something totally opposite.
Really different.
To what I do now.
I didn't realize you were into prisons like Georgie.
Yeah. That was before we even knew each other as well.
That's weird.
Yeah. Like, oh, I did a day
How does
there.
One do work experience at a prison? What can you do?
I shadowed a sexual parole officer.
Fuck.
Yeah.
Wow. Intense. That's intense.
Yeah.
Wow. Fascinating.
It was eye-opening.
Yeah, I bet. What prison?
Bullingdon Prison in Oxfordshire.
Really different.
They are the low of the low in prison life.
Society,
yeah. exactly. Yeah. But it's quite weird when you're reading these people's kind of files and then they come in and, you know, the prisoner brings you a cup of tea. Like, get away.
God, that's brave. How
old
are
you? Just heard you hid a 10-year-old girl underneath your bed for 3 weeks.
God.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awful. Yeah. How old were you when you did that?
22.
Fuck, that takes balls, Laura, because you're also like a small little blonde lady. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like, as in, I don't think I'd have the balls to do that.
Yeah. Maybe it's better when you do it younger, though.
Yeah,
you're
a bit more naive.
Yeah.
Good for you. Cool. Lou?
Maybe something in architecture. I think combining my love of maths and art and buildings. Often I'll go past the building site and say, Charlotte, so fascinating how these buildings are made and put together and everything. And Charlotte's like, couldn't care less.
Yeah, I literally don't give a shit. She's always like,
God,
do you ever
you
wonder?
Need to hang out with
I find those things really
fascinating. We'll go past that like, stop and
yes.
pause.
Yeah. We'll go past the cranes and she'll be like, oh, I wonder why this floor came
are
back.
Are you fascinated?
Well, that wasn't
right. I wonder why.
Just rolling out my my Nessa voice for you. That's not on purpose.
Anyway. Yeah, something, I don't know, structural engineering. Quite fascinated by that.
Interesting.
You?
Well, my dream was always to be on the West End stage. My dream remains to be on the West End stage. I don't think it's going to happen anytime. Eloise is laughing at me. I don't think it's going to happen anytime soon.
I think we need to share a car journey with some musicals. Oh my God, playlist.
Let's get my musical playlist.
Oh, I just love it.
What would be the dream show?
Such a big question. I feel like a dream role is probably Wicked.
I thought you'd say Joseph.
No, well, Joseph, the narrator in Joseph was like my childhood dream.
Oh. Okay.
That's a great role.
That still is. It's actually a great role. Yeah, yeah. I quite like that one.
But yeah, and you don't need... Oh, no, you do need to sing for that.
No, you definitely need to sing for all of the roles that I'm interested in. Yeah, sadly. And yeah, and definitely being an actor is not for me. I just wanted to sing on stage, but no one will let me. So that's probably it. So I don't know what the hell I'd be doing if it wasn't for this. Definitely not.
Well, I'm definitely not qualified to be a structural engineer. Okay,
and I'm not qualified to be a prison officer.
No, also not. Okay, fair enough. We'll go with that then. Another question. Best place to go for a girly birthday day / evening in early June in London? I've got an answer for this.
You go.
Okay. I think that Wild by Tarte is the most perfect girly place to eat. I actually went with Ben on Friday night and he was quite out of place with a lot of groups of girlfriends. Yeah. I just think it's like special enough, but without being like super fancy.
Yeah.
It's just so, the food is amazing. It's so girly. I think it's lovely.
Yeah. It's also, I know this isn't probably what you were asking for, but it's such a good location. Mm. Often I find like when you're trying to meet girlfriends, like everyone's coming from all over and like there's certain spots which are more convenient for some and some for others. Victoria is great.
So true.
And it's so pretty. It's got quite a New York warehouse vibe to it, hasn't it?
Yeah.
That's a really good show, actually.
It's just a really good girly option.
Yeah.
Anywhere else?
I also think Dalloway Terrace is also really lovely for a sort of a late lunch. You can sit outside. Yes. It's always really pretty.
Oh my God, actually, you know where I went the other day, which is incredible, is the Standard at King's Cross, part of the Standard Hotel Group. And they have a rooftop bar, which is absolutely incredible. And annoyingly, that's not where we had booked. We had booked the bar downstairs.
Okay.
But a couple of my friends knew a guy who worked there who took us upstairs and we were like, damn it, it was fully booked. But it's got the most insane views across the whole of London. I mean, seriously, like really far reaching. It's like a huge, huge space. And it's kind of like, it's a bit kitsch. It's like fake grass and kind of like, you know, big loungy sofa areas. Yeah. It's huge. Like it shouldn't be that hard to find a spot there in the summer. They've got like a hot dog stand up there. It's like an amazing spot. Also King's Cross, not bad for
great transport. That's a really good one as well.
Great place to just like pitch up with a bottle of rosé for the afternoon.
Fun.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah, like so nice.
Yeah, that's one of the things I really want to do is go to a roof terrace.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Recommend. Oh, this is a good question. Any designer purchase regrets? I feel like we're both quite careful.
Yeah, I massively like overthink my designer purchases.
Me too.
I once bought a little red bag from Mulberry, like a tiny little one, and it's not really my vibe.
How tiny? Like Jacquemus tiny?
Like it literally is probably the width of my phone. It can literally fit phone, lip balm,
I think I know which one,
and a card. And it was like fun for a bit, but didn't really
I bought an Eero leather jacket, which I still love, but I just wish I'd gone a size bigger.
Oh, that's the worst
feeling. It's really annoying. It's one of the first things I bought when I started at Sheer Luxe. It was like one of my first designer purchases. No, I don't think I did. Anyway, I just wish I bought it a size bigger. I don't wear it enough.
I have a marginal one like that and it's just too tight on the shoulders.
Yeah.
It's a really nice shape and
colour. Exactly. And this has got gold hardware, which I love. Cool. It's just really cool.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Eero make the best jackets.
Yeah.
Yeah, so good. I bought a pair of Gucci boots on Vestiaire once and they were really cool. They were patent and they had the gold horse bit kind of across the front, but they cut like mid-calf, which like, I mean, you literally need Alexa Chung legs to wear those, and I do not have them. I mean, I literally wore them once. There's, I think probably now trends have changed. I could have got away with wearing like a kind of culotte style, you know, like a baggy jean, but it just really wasn't the style.
Did you sell them?
Yeah, I sold them back. But yeah, they take a 30% cut, so you're never going to make back what you've made. Anyway, not paid a lot for them at all, so it wasn't like a big disaster. But yeah, I think about them a lot.
Yeah.
There's also things though that I've got rid of where I think, damn, I should have kept
always
that.
Always.
And I made the most amazing pair of Gap flares when I was like,
I thought you were going to say something.
Do you know, that's so cool, weird you say flares. Well, I had an amazing pair of black flares too, which I got rid of. When
flares were everything. Yeah. And I was like, I'm never not going to wear flares ever. Why would you ever wear a skinny? God. And then obviously skinnies were in. Mm. So I got rid of all my flares. And now flares will always have a place.
I'm really ruthless. And actually, I was talking about Georgie the other day because she comes in sometimes. I'm like, you've had that for years.
She does rewear.
Really looked after it and really kept. I just don't have enough space, maybe, so I'm a bit ruthless.
And also, she does really look after her clothes, whatever the price point is. And I'm not so good at that. I look after my expensive things, but I'm not very good with my cheap things. And I think that really shows. Yeah, she's good like that. Someone has said, please, can we have a wardrobe tour of Georgie's shoes and bags and clothes? Yes, you can. It is currently on YouTube. On the Sheer Luck Show, Georgie did a wardrobe challenge 2 weeks ago.
And her tour is also there from a few years ago as well.
Oh, yes, it is. Yeah. Yes. Yes. In short, there's plenty of Georgie fashion content on YouTube. You just need to go to the Sheer Luck's YouTube account. It's also, I've just been reminded, on IGTV. So there we go. Lots of places to find it. Oh, best makeup lessons / department stores or places for a makeover in London. I have never gone to a makeup stand to have my makeup done. Have you guys?
I have once and I really didn't like it. And I think I then afterwards went and hid behind another counter and removed it immediately.
Did you get it done for an event?
No, I think I was just walking through somewhere. I was looking at eyeshadows and they were like, oh, let me have a go. Do you want me to put it on you? And I was like, oh God, go on then. And I'm not really one for eyeshadow. And it just looked so heavy. I just looked like I'd been punched in the face. And I think I was like on my lunch break and I was like...
Not a great look to head back to the office. Exactly.
Ta-da!
Yeah.
So, I didn't really like it. But actually, I can remember when I was looking for an Armani foundation, not an ad, in Harvey Nichols, one of the ladies put it on me and it was amazing. I think I was going for a dress fitting straight afterwards and my bridesmaids were like, God, you're face. And I was like, thank you, it's this new Armani foundation.
I think they are particularly knowledgeable in Harvey Nichols at the makeup counters. Everywhere is good, all those big department stores, but they are really good there.
I feel like it's quite a dated thing to go and sit and have your makeup done at a counter. I would far rather have somebody come to my house and give me like a bit of a lesson.
What I have done actually, on a hen, we went to the Charlotte Tilbury store in Covent Garden and they have downstairs like a makeover room. It's actually a really nice hen activity and they've got loads of stools and you can choose like your look from Charlotte Tilbury and we could all just go and have our look done and then I think you also got two products to take home as well.
Oh, that's really
it was a really good hen activity. Yeah. And I feel like if I was going to go to anyone, I'd go to Charlotte Tilbury for that.
Also win-win for Charlotte Tilbury.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Okay, Laura, a couple of interiors questions for you. I'm going to put you on the spot. Any ideas? Well, I think we all know the answer to this question, but any ideas for a lovely big tray for my decanters? Oh, no, brackets. I'm too tight to buy Addison Ross. I was going to say Addison Ross. You shouldn't call yourself tight because they are expensive and not everybody has that money to spend on a tray. So if you do want a stylish tray that isn't quite so expensive, where can you look?
Yeah, I would say that I actually had this conversation with a friend after the spring fair the other day, and I was trying to encourage him to spend the money because I think it is a home accessory, and those are the kind of things that you should build up and kind of spend a bit of money on. But I do think the high street does amazing options. H&M Home at the moment has a really cool rattan tray, which I love. They had it in black first, and they've just brought it out in the neutral, but they do sell out quickly. Zara Home, again, I think does great ones. For something a bit different, Edit 58 did an amazing scallop rattan tray.
I saw that this weekend.
I couldn't buy it. I tried so fast.
It's so good.
It sold out in seconds.
You know, Etsy, you'd be able to get a good scallop tray
and
somewhere.
And also Lara Dute. I would just keep an eye on all of these kind of high street stores because once they come in, if they're good... They go out pretty quickly.
So true. Okay. Another person has asked, where do I find stylish tea, coffee, sugar canisters?
Oh, I love mine from Burley. They were a wedding present and I still adore them.
What do they look like?
They're the Pheasant collection. So they're kind of blue and white china, which I love. I would just stay clear of ones that say tea, coffee, sugar on them. Agreed. I think just go something simple and plain and it will be a bit more timeless.
Okay, another question. Floral long sleeve maxi dresses for a breastfeeding mum at not ridiculously priced. Lou, I'm going to come to you because I know you like a long sleeve.
Yeah,
event dress.
I love a long sleeve dress.
Any recommendations?
So is this events specific?
No, perhaps not. Floral long sleeve maxi dresses. No, perhaps not.
Well, now is your time to shop because floral long sleeve dresses are everywhere. We've got a beautiful edit going on the site this week for matches, which have got some really beautiful ones. Luke von Sieger, if you have got a bit of money to spend, I think is your brand. But also on the high street, New Look actually have got some really, really pretty floral dresses. A lot of shearing, a lot of sort of puff sleeves off the shoulder. If you are looking for something a little bit more affordable, and Free People always great for a floral dress as well.
I also would say Zara, they've got some good button down ones, which if you're breastfeeding is probably quite crucial.
I'm going to do a final quick fire one. I just want a one word answer or as short as you can keep it. Best hangover cure, Laura.
Oh, Alka-Seltzer.
Lou?
Toast.
Okay. Cheese on toast for me. All right. Thanks for your questions. Please do keep them coming. I love how varied they are. It's such fun. So please do keep them coming in. We should talk about a couple of pieces that have gone live on site over the last week. We wrote a feature on how to be a better listener. Do you guys think you're good listeners, Laura?
I would say I probably wasn't. No, maybe that's a bit harsh. But I'd say I've definitely tried to be a better listener. One of my dad's key advices was to always be interested in what other people say. And I've really, really held on to that. So yeah, I think I've been better. But one of the key points here is try not to fill the silence. And I am terrible at that. I just, no matter how much I try not to, I'm not very good at pausing and there being no noise. I feel like I have to fill it.
Couldn't agree more. I feel exactly the same. Are you a good listener?
I think I am quite good. I would much rather somebody else tell a story or tell me something about themselves than me have to do the talking. So I feel like I probably am quite good. But yeah, I agree with you, Laura. That sort of, I hate that feeling where you're trying to think of something, the next thing to say, because you're a bit nervous.
Yeah.
So you're not really listening or like kind of letting the conversation flow perhaps as naturally, because you're thinking the next thing.
I always think it's worse with people you don't know. So if it's a really good friend, that kind of pause is fine and you know you're really kind of taking in what they're saying. But if it's somebody new, I become like racing to fill the time.
If I get nervous going into a social situation and I just think of the things that maybe I could talk about or say or ask them, I'd always rather ask questions than ask myself.
Definitely.
But yeah, I probably say I'm quite good.
I feel exactly the same as you. I just cannot bear a silence, and the easiest way to fill a silence is just to say something kind of about yourself. So like, oh, I had a terrible night's sleep last night, or whatever it may be, and then I'm always really conscious that I'm just talking about myself. That's my biggest, like, god, am I just banging on about me all the time?
Well, one of the points stressful as well, if somebody tells you a point, not to turn it back onto yourself. And I feel like I've been surrounded by quite a lot of that as I've grown up, and it drives me insane. It's like, all I'm asking for is 5 minutes of sympathy. I don't want to hear about your problems.
But there is a balance we met, because sometimes I think when you do that, it kind of levels you with the person that you're speaking to, and it actually brings you closer together. And I've read somewhere that once you share something about yourself and you kind of make yourself feel more vulnerable, then people feel more at ease with you. So there's a fine balance of doing that and then also sounding like, let's tell you about
me. It's so true, because often I will try, and if somebody tells you something, I might say, oh, and the exact same thing happened to me, blah blah, which leads me on to the fact that I so know where you're coming from,
and this was so really helpful.
But then you have just you're at danger of that person, you're at risk of that person thinking, I've just told her something, and she's just talking about herself again.
It's also hard, I think, when you're having a conversation with someone and they don't give you much back. Therefore, you kind of feel like you then have to fill that conversation with questions.
Or I sometimes feel like if somebody's asked me that question and then I've opened up a bit and then they don't follow up with the next question, then I feel like I've just literally filled it by just literally giving my whole life to them. And then I always wish I could rewind time.
Interesting. What do you think makes a good listener? Like, if you're talking to somebody, what do you appreciate in somebody when you're kind of talking to them? Or it doesn't even have to be as much as spinning your guts, but you know,
when they say something to make it clear that they've understood what you've said.
I think you can tell a good friend by if you've told them something, and I don't necessarily want a solution there and then, yeah. but they'll check in later in the day and say, yeah. I've been thinking about this. How about X, Y, Z? I always really appreciate that.
So agree. A follow up on anything or even just a, I'm thinking about you on that. Yeah. You know, it doesn't have to, again, it doesn't have to be something serious, but just a kind of checking in on whatever it is. How did that meeting go in the end? Whatever it is, it shows that somebody's been paying attention, doesn't it?
Yeah.
For me, I think one of the biggest things is eye contact. There is nothing worse than somebody who is not engaged. And that could be someone that you're chatting to at a drinks party, or could be talking to somebody and they're busy doing something else. And I find that so frustrating.
Or looking over their shoulder.
Yes.
That is the worst.
No, I think I'm quite engaging. So people who are busy looking to other people to talk to, hello.
Or like picking up their phone or like trying to do something. Sometimes I feel if you're sharing something really personal, eye contact actually makes me feel a bit uncomfortable.
Yeah, I agree.
So I kind of want to, I remember you saying that like going for a walk is quite a good thing because you don't have to stare at each other. So I think depending on the topic, sometimes.
Yeah. I think if you've got a big thing to share, often going for a walk is a good way to do it.
That's what they say about kids as well, that if you need to get something out of your children, put them in the back of your car. Yes, so you're not, they're not looking directly at you.
Yeah,
it's clever. I am also a terrible multitasker. So often, I find this at work actually a lot. Somebody will come and say something to me and I've fully listened and fully heard it, but I can't, if I'm in the middle of doing something else, I'm just not capable of splitting my brain in two in that way. And I don't know if that's a me thing or if everybody feels the same, but then I feel like it seems like I'm not listening or not engaging, and it's just because I'm not very good at coming out of what I'm doing and going back into what they're saying.
There's also, I think, a really bad thing, and I've definitely done this in the past, where somebody, you've kind of switched off for like a little bit of a conversation, and then you ask a question that they've literally just said, and I feel terrible when that happens.
That's my word. When you listen to an interview, when somebody does that, I hear that happens a lot on live radio, and you're just like, oh my God, pay attention.
Yeah, that's, and I think so that's bad. Because I think this shows someone, a really good broadcaster, where they've obviously got their set questions, but they're listening for their answers as well. And there's like a natural dialogue, but they kind of know the key points that they need to cover.
Yeah,
I think that's a proper life skill.
Mm. Yeah, yeah, agreed. All right, well, this feature that we wrote on how to be a better listener contains lots of good tips. Things like be present, that's the putting your phone down thing, asking questions and reflect. I think that's a really good point. It's like following up on a question. So it's like, oh, do you mean this? Or like, rather than just jumping in with your response.
Yeah.
Check your body language is another good one on this list as well. I feel like you could be listening, you know, very intently, but it's sat there with your arms crossed. Yeah. It's not going to feel like you're listening, is it? All right. Well, for more tips on how to be a good listener, then do have a look at the feature on the site. Finally, let's just quickly end with another piece, which I love. This is a feature that Polly wrote. 10 stylish women share their best fashion advice. We tapped everybody from Gabrielle Hackworthy to Jessie Randall, founder of Loffler Randall, to Anna Bromelow, to Rachel Ingram, editor-in-chief of Threads. I mean, some really great names in here for their best piece of style advice. I mean, one piece is very, very hard, but I'm going to put you on the spot and ask for your number one piece of style advice in your own time. Whilst you guys have a think, I should share what some of the pieces of advice were. Rabia Schiff, who we love, hers was always take a pair of sunglasses with you when you leave the house, even in winter. That is such good advice. I hate being caught out without my sunglasses, like really hate it. Rachel Ingram said, my grandmother always says you can judge a man by his shoes. It's true, a beautiful quality pair of shoes can elevate any outfit.
Yeah.
That's true for women as well, I'd say. And Sarah Corbett Winder, everyone should size up where possible. I mean, it's so true.
Yeah, so true.
So true. Lou, you've got yours.
I'm going to run through three really quickly.
I mean,
first one, I think, is to be comfortable. If you don't look in the mirror and think, I feel like me, I think just something's not right, so change it. Another really good one, I think, is to take pictures of your outfits, preferably without your face in it. And I think then you kind of assess your look without judgment of what you look like, if you're feeling a bit tired or whatever. The other one is if you have women whose style you really admire, think about whether they would wear the outfit that you're wearing. And if they would, then great. If they wouldn't, then maybe you need to change something up.
Okay. Yeah. I agree with all of those. Laura?
I think mine would be to buy within a colour palette, because then you can mix and match everything within your wardrobe. Fine to have a key kind of out there pieces, but I think it kind of hones your buying slightly too. Otherwise you're kind of, what are you drawn to? So I think I actually do the same for my children.
That only works if you like a refined palette. Like if you like to wear lots of colour and print, How do you do that?
Well, then you only buy color and print. Then you don't buy a cream jumper or a pair of white jeans or whatever. You just buy to that color palette, don't you?
I use it with my children too. Mm. When they get themselves dressed,
everything matches.
You can't go too wrong.
Yes. Yeah. True.
If they it's want not going to work control, amazingly, but you've got kind of boundaries there.
Yeah. Okay.
What's yours?
Mine is to have 2 or 3 items in your wardrobe that are absolute 100% fail safe, you know you feel good in. So whether that's a blazer or a dress or, you know, it's going to be different for everybody, but have those pieces where like when all else fails, you know, you'll feel like yourself and you'll feel good in those and that they kind of work for every occasion as well. That's my advice.
And having, I guess, an outfit as a whole as well, rather than an individual piece, a kind of good, like, I've got nothing to wear. Yeah. You just throw that on.
And up your sleeve. Exactly. Exactly. So there you go. There's ours. So many good pieces of advice in this feature. So do check it out on site. I think that's about it for today. If you enjoyed that, please do email podcast@sheerlikes.com. We love hearing from you. And also do let us know if you have any questions for us to cover on the podcast next week. Please do also remember to rate, review. We don't give this enough love, but please do leave us a review. It really helps boost us in the charts. So please do rate, review, subscribe, and tell your friends. Bye.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.